Hi everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and this week I want to wish you and your family happy holidays, Merry Christmas. I think I'm late for Hanukkah. I wish you a happy Hanukkah, but I think it's belated. But I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas, so I hope you have a great holiday. And I know Christmas here in the States is a time of rest and relaxation for many of us, although it's very stressful if you have kids and you got to buy gifts and you're running around to family, so maybe it's not as relaxing as we all think it is. But I want to wish you guys a happy holidays, and I hope you get some time off. Now, I have to work this week, but not a full week. I got it made, actually. I only work 2 or 3 days. I'm very grateful for that, trust me. I'm probably not going to put anything out between Christmas and New Year's because I need a break from this. I know you guys don't believe it, but it is a lot of work to put all this together. And in today's case, I want to talk about tower safety and instruction. Now, I know Tower Safety, towersafety.com, they're a sponsor of mine, but what I did, I wrote a post about what they offer, what they do, but the important thing here is what Nate's going to do. That's what I want you guys to focus on. Specifically, how the changes with the NWSA is going to change the way that tower instruction is done. We already know that they have the rigging certifications out there, which they did through the NCCCO, which is the Crane Association, the National Crane Association. They already had training. So what NWSA is, was just partner with them to take care of the rigging. And those certifications are already out there. Basically, what they did, they took the crane rigging certifications and made them available to the tower industry, which I think they always were. I think NWSA is just bringing it to light. AT&T, as you know, has Art Pregler on the board of NWSA, so I would expect that the carriers are going to require the NWSA certification. Now, I don't know what this means as far as training goes, but training is fascinating to me in the tower industry, and I'll tell you why. The training in the tower industry is done a lot of different ways, and if you're in the industry, you know. You have train the trainer, go for your certification. You have a lot of different companies, and you know, I like Tower Safety, but you have Safety One, you have Comtrain, you have a lot of options out there. The thing about Tower Safety is they're preparing for what is changing in the tower industry. There's going to be a lot of changes. NWSA is going to have a certification, so no longer is it going to be good enough to have Tower Safety certification. The other thing I think is going to change, I wonder how train the trainer is going to be handled, because that was a source of problems in the past. What companies would do, they would hire a guy to train these people, and then you never knew if the people were actually properly trained or not. With that said, most of the guys that I talked to that did train the trainer programs for their companies were very passionate about it, and they went above and beyond what they learned. I got to give a lot of those guys credit. I named their names, but none of them wanted me to. But those guys really care. And a lot of times it got them in trouble with the company. The company didn't want to spend the money on safety. A lot of companies get into this tower business thinking, oh, it's easy. We'll just put a couple of grunts up on the tower. They don't realize you have a lot of insurance, a lot of risk. That's why a lot of these tower companies split into division, because the insurance is so high for the climbing companies. So what you'll see with a lot of tower companies is you'll see one division that's dedicated towards climbing, and then maybe the other one does wiring or whatever, does the groundwork. A lot of companies get into this business and they don't understand the expenses. Safety's not cheap. That's why a good friend of mine, John, I talked to him at Tire. Well, good friend. He's a friend. I talked to him at Tire App when I was there last year, which, by the way, they have another conference coming up. I'll promote that soon. I'm very happy that they're going to do another conference. It's going to be the Tire App thing is where OSHA, which is part of the Department of Labor, and the FCC, who promotes tower safety as well, they get together, they bring their resources together to make sure that people understand the training that is needed in the industry, and they also are trying to build an apprenticeship program in the industry. The thing about the apprenticeship program is a lot of companies aren't structured for that in this industry. A lot are. Specifically in broadcast, they seem to be structured for it. It seems like these broadcast tower companies are very, what would I say, long-term jobs for most of them. And that's the difference between that and the carrier industry. The carrier industry are generally, they hire as they need people. Because let's face it, carriers, when they need people, they hire everybody as contractors, 1099 employees. You know, when it's over, done, let them go. Then we get a new pool of kids, train them, and we pray to God they don't die. I know I'm going off here, but let's talk about what tower safety and instruction does. You hear that all the time. You might hear it as a sales pitch, and I know I do my commercials every time, but I really want to talk to you about what they do for the climbers. So my sponsor, Tower Safety, 480-313-0678, who is based in Phoenix, Arizona, but they'll come to you, and they do a lot more than just tower safety training now. Now, granted, anyone who does tower safety training probably also does the OSHA 10, the OSHA 30. I mean, that goes without saying, right? They do tower safety and rescue. They take you up a tower. You have to rescue somebody. They probably have RF awareness and RF safety. And that's very important. You want to make sure it's an accredited school and that the business has been around a while. It's not a fly-by-night school. You know, obviously you want someone who has been there for a while and has the experience. And also you want someone who understands that you, the climber, or your business, your climbers, whatever you are in this business, you have to be ready for the NWSA certification. And you have to be focused on what certification you're going to get. Are you going to get the climbing that they call the tower tech? Are you going to get the tower tech? And they have different levels of it, okay? So make sure you understand what you're going to get with the NWSA, because they also have crane and rigging and so on. You don't want to show up with one certification and the customer requires a different one. Be very focused on what you're going to get here. Tower Safety is going to explain those differences to you and prepare you for the specific training that you want to do for the job that you are going to do. So if you have 5 climbers working for you, or if you have 3 or 4 crews in your business, you want to make sure they get trained consistently and across the board, okay? So Tower Safety can train you for all your needs. The other thing they have, because they are an accredited school, if you're out of the military, if you're a veteran, you can get support through the VA and you can have them help pay for the classes, your training. That's the thing about an accredited school, is that they can accept that. And they're all set up to accept that and do the training. Oh, by the way, they also have first aid and CPR training. I think that goes without saying, too. Anyone who does tower safety and rescue should have all of that. So it's just one more thing. Well, let me go over the training. They have the facility to train at their location. A lot of people want you to come out to the local location. But if you're willing to send a text to Phoenix, they have 2 antenna booms, which they actually are in a crane yard. Before they had their own tower, but now they actually have the booms, and they have a 150-foot tower crane to let you practice on, and it's really cool, you know. This is a place to be training. They're co-located with a train facility, which means, you guessed it, they're going to have more rigging training so they can align with the crane company, just like the NWSA did. It's very important to understand that, and that's the deal here. You want to make sure that you're prepared for what you're going to do. So they offer rigging class, they have capstan training, which I wish I had capstan training years ago. Back years ago, you know, in the late 80s and 90s, we learned on the job. It's just how it was. Or you learn from the company that sold the capstan winches. That's one thing you see a lot of videos out there on how to use them properly. The other thing you need to understand is you have rope training. So you have veterans in the business that instruct you how to do proper rope work, rigging work, and so on. And that's what you're going to need. So you're going to have someone who's well-rounded that trains you in that business. You want someone that actually has done rescues, and that's what they have. So you want trained linemen. They can help too. So this is something that you can count on the training. Plus, I don't know how many times you guys take these training classes. You learn a lot of good stories. It's always fun to hear the stories of the instructors. Most instructors have been around a while. They have some good stories, and they like to share them, you know. It's part of the class. Plus, you can learn from their mistake. One thing I like about a lot of these classes is they share the near-miss stories. And the near-miss stories, you learn a lot from. And you can also hear, after they talk about the near-miss stories, they say, well, I'll never do that again, or I'll do it this way next time, or I learn not to do that again, especially if equipment gets destroyed. If no one gets hurt, it's a good day. But sometimes equipment gets destroyed and the business owner, it's a bad day because they probably lost a lot of money, or a little bit of money, let's say. But whenever you have to replace anything, you know, it just sucks. Anyway, again, Tower Safety talks about they have the experienced trainers for that. The other thing they go into, because tower industry has changed, you can't just go up on a tower anymore. And that's what a lot of companies still think. Oh, I'll send a grunt up there, it'll be easy. You have to have fiber skills. And that's another thing that they focus on. So think about what a tower climber has to deal with now. I mean, think about all the skills you need. Now, you are not only required to have to climb the tower, get over the fear of heights, hang on, have all the safety training for the tower, make sure you have that, make sure you can rescue someone off the tower, make sure you have the proper rescue training, have the first aid, the CPR training, have the rigging training if you're going to rig. Now you need to do the fiber training. So you have to understand that you need fiber skills. You know what? It is getting to the point where the telecom tower climber, has to know so much more than they used to. You can't just go up there and be a grunt. And one thing you'll learn, and I've heard this from guys in the industry, they hire a lot of these kids that say, oh, I'm a tower climber. And then they go up there. All they can really do is climb a tower. Let me explain something. This is a business. This business is full of professionals. Climbing a tower is not enough. You need to be prepared to do the work. What's the work? Not only the mechanics of attaching it, putting the hardware on, not dropping the hardware when you're 150 foot up. You know what I mean? You drop a washer, a lock washer. The other thing you got to know is that you don't want to fudge it. If someone goes up to inspect your work, which this is why they have independent inspectors and auditors to go around, if you don't put a lock washer on, like an all thread or a mount or something like that, the lock washer, or if you double nut it, that could mean the difference between it coming loose in a year and falling, getting destroyed, or at worst case, you have a dish that comes out of alignment or a cell array that's out of alignment. There's a reason the hardware's on there. The hardware matters. And I don't know how many of you worked in the early days of like a lot of the outdoor units, but a lot of them use stainless steel. Oh, stainless steel. Stainless steel all threads, if you ever worked with them, they tend to cross thread a lot. And when you cross thread, the only way to get them off is to cut them. What would happen is if you double nutted it, they would cross thread. If you used a lock washer and you over tighten it, it would cross thread. They were just a nightmare to work with. I know I'm getting off point here, but I just want you to realize there's more to this job, even on the hardware side, than you think. You don't just, you know, tighten it balls to the wall. It depends what the hardware is. You got to make sure all the hardware is on properly. Are you going to use lock washers, double nut it, whatever? Do you need washers? Do you have all the spacing and sizing right? Not only that, but the reason you want to be able to loosen up the hardware. I know you guys think you'll tighten it down and never come back again. And a lot of you, that's probably true. It's probably just a job. You go out and install. But if you get the maintenance contract or you got to repair or you have to come back and change the alignment or down tilt, well, then if something's cross-threaded, double-threaded, or you can't loosen it, really sucks. Plus, when someone does come back for the down tilt and you did crappy work, they're going to see it. So well-rounded. I've covered mechanical skills. Now, fiber skills. When you're up there now, a lot of the fibers run up in the tower and you got to splice fiber and put the jumpers in. And I used to share a lot of fiber videos on my blog, wadeforwireless.com. And the thing about that is you need to know how to clean the fiber properly. You don't want to destroy it. You don't want to scratch it. You want to make sure you have the right materials and you don't want to get it wet. For all you brilliant geniuses out there that think you can spit on it, don't do it. That's disgusting. One. Two, you'll ruin the fiber. You'll be replacing that jumper. And if you don't do it, and if you get away with it, it's going to go bad. What happens is when it gets wet, it gets residue there. It can build up mold or dirt or grease. It builds up over time. And then you know what? The guy that goes out to replace it, he comes out there and he realizes what a horrible installer you were. Now, with that said, there are things that happen, like fiber pops out once in a while. When you put it in, it clicks. You have to make sure it's in there good and tight. I don't know why it pops out once in a while, but sometimes it does. You just have to make sure it's in there. And that is a majority of the calls that I hear about for maintenance and repair. They put a jumper in, it works, but it isn't locked in there. They didn't hear it click or they didn't feel it click. And for whatever reason, it pops out. So what do? You have to get tower crew out there. You have to climb all the way up. You have to find the fiber. It's a waste of time for everybody. Tower Rescue will help you look into all that. They'll help you with your closeout packages too. So the training is well-rounded there, but you got to be focused on what you want to do. The problem with a lot of companies is they think they're saving money by not sending someone out with fiber skills. No fiber skills, you're going to have a problem. But hey, maybe your boss maybe you like sending people out to a site two or three times. Does that eat into profits? Yes, it does. So I'm just pointing this out to help you out. Let's not forget the OSHA training. That's required, at least OSHA 10. OSHA 10 is required by almost everybody. If you're a supervisor, if you're doing train to trainer, if you're the safety inspection or the safety guru at a company, you're going to want the OSHA 30. Okay, and then first aid and CPR. That's almost always required too, because any hazard can happen out of a tower site. Just so you understand, the reason I promote tower safety is because this particular school goes deeper than the normal training. It isn't a numbers game here. A lot of these schools, it's a numbers game. Oh, you climbed the tower, you pulled someone off, done. Here's your certificate. What they do, they try to get you beyond that, and they try to get you to think about your job holistically, and they also want to make sure that you're looking at rescue. They want to make sure you understand the tools. They want you to make sure that you have what you need to keep improving your skills for the future. So when you go out there, they give you a lot of stuff, right? They show you how to use a lot of equipment. They go into much more than the normal training would have For instance, they go into the difference between the types of ropes, polyester versus nylon. That's explained at the school. The ANSI rating on the aluminum carabiners, you know, I'm not a big fan of aluminum. Always use the hardened steel, right? But they explain that. They go over the harnesses, which harness is better to use and why. And maybe you have a personal favorite. You know, a lot of people make fun of me because I used to wear the ExoFit, but I guess they're history now. There's always a possibility that you have to rescue somebody. They also go into a lot of that. Obviously, every school goes into rescue, but do they really go over like all the issues that could come up or that happen, things like that? So that's why I think it's important. Oh, by the way, I do have a video in the blog. I have a couple videos, actually, but I got the SureClip video in there for the industrial rescue tool. Now, one more thing, if you're still listening, but I didn't bring up, when you go to this school, when you complete this class, and if you pass, obviously, depending upon what classes you take, but they're going to give you a tower safety tablet. And the whole idea of the tablet, it's, you know, it's basically a droid tablet that you're going to get because you're going to be able to actually get the books, hopefully my books, the books that I write will be on the tablet. So that way you'll have the information you need. Plus, you also have the tower safety books that they wrote. And those books are going to help you out in the future. So it isn't like you just leave the class and you're done. You actually have a tablet with all the information and all the ebooks on that you need. You're going to have the information to like access the knots you need, to look at the different ropes, to look at the OSHA's information you might need. It's going to be an asset to any tower worker and any contractor out there. But isn't that nice? I mean, you not only go to the class, but you also, you know, get your own tablet to do your work on, to read the ebooks on. And if you're smart, you'll get my logbook and you'll log your high time, you'll log your drive time, and you'll log your job. You'll know exactly what you're doing. So it's very important you know that. If you look at wadeforwireless.com, and the name of this is going to be Tower Safety. I tried to make the name of the blog easy for you. Tower Safety and Instruction. So if you look up that blog, you will see what you get with the training, because they have a lot of, you know, they have 16 hours for authorized climber, 16 hours for competent climber, authorized rescue, 24 hours, OSHA 10, 10 hours, obviously. And they have all the training listed in there. Plus, like I said, they also have crane operator training, lift director training, rigger training, signal person training, forklift certification training, which I had to take, believe it or not, at one point, inspection training, OSHA training. And the other thing that they're going to come out with is drone training soon, because drones are going to be a part of this industry. It's very important that you understand that the industry is changing, but it's changing in a good way. Just think how much more work we can get done if drones start doing a lot of the closeout packages and the preliminary inspections. So we don't really need a crew to go out. We can have a drone. Now, with that said, drones aren't going to replace the workers, obviously. The work still has to get done. Drones can't exactly lift, you know, the Celeray up in the air. That's still manpower, but we have to do things right. We have to be prepared for the site when we show up out there. All right? Deploy, deploy, deploy. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. Safety starts with paying attention. As long as you're trained properly and you pay attention to what you're doing, you'll be okay. Unfortunately, most of you think you're trained properly. You think you can go out there and you'll be fine. And don't forget, get your copy of the Wireless Deployment Handbook if you're still listening. I would appreciate it. I have the C-RAN Small Cells and DAS edition, which the LTE Small Cells C-RAN and DAS edition I put out there just for you guys. If you want to get it, wadeforwireless.com, just go ahead and look for it. I got the information in there. If you want to give me feedback, wadeforwireless.com, I got at the bottom of the post, I got some feedback. And if you go all the way to the bottom, if you're still listening, if you're still hanging with me, one, thank you. Two, I have an AT&T video, an old video where they talk about, I don't know how many of you, like I'm in my 50s, okay? I don't know how many of you understand like how microwave first started across the country and how we got long distance across the country. Back when AT&T was the only phone company, you had AT&T, I think, for long distance, and then you had Bell, the regional Bells, but it was one company, one big phone company, and the government made them split up because there's a monopoly, blah, blah, blah. But I have a video that they promoted back in the 50s, which was sort of neat, that covered about the way the microwave worked back then. And a lot of towers you see back then are still standing today because, you know, back then we were in the middle of the Cold War in the 50s. For those of you that don't know, the Cold War is where we thought communism was going to take over, and we thought Russia was going to drop nuclear bombs in the U.S., and Russia thought the U.S. was going to drop nuclear bombs on them. Unfortunately, now it's a different world. We don't know who the enemy is. Enough about that. If you want to see the video, it's at the very end of the blog. Scroll all the way down to the bottom. All right, everyone, be smart, be safe, pay attention to what you're doing. safety, although it starts with training, you keep on being safe by paying attention to what you're doing. See ya.